Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Clean Water Act and Flooding Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On December 4, 2012, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Los Angeles County Flood Control District v. Natural Resources Defense Council. The question in the case is whether, when someone channels water from one part of a river to another part of the same river to control flooding, certain limitations prescribed by the Clean Water Act apply. To discuss the case, we have Damian Schiff, a principal attorney for Pacific Legal Foundation. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Schiff.
The United States Supreme Court heard argument this month in a Clean Water Act case concerning stormwater regulation in the Los Angeles River Basin. Specifically, the case Los Angeles County Flood Control District versus Natural Resources Defense Council concerns whether the LA County Flood Control District violated the Clean Water Act by exceeding the amount of pollutants it was allowed to discharge under its Clean Water Act permit into two rivers, the Los Angeles River and the San Gabriel River. The case arises from a citizen suit action brought by two environmental groups against the district to hold the district liable for heavily polluted stormwater that flows into the LA and San Gabriel rivers. Before getting too much further into the facts, though, I'd like to give a brief review on how the Clean Water Act regulates stormwater. The Act makes illegal the discharge of a pollutant from a point source into the, quote, waters of the United States that may exceed any applicable permit limitation. Here, the LA District operates a municipal separate stormwater sewer system, known in the business as an MS4, which is essentially a large mixture of pipes, canals, and the like, which channel stormwater from over 80 municipalities within the district's territory, ultimately into several rivers, including the LA and the San Gabriel Rivers, that in turn flow into the Pacific Ocean. Now, all the parties in this case agree that the Clean Water Act considers the district system to be a point source and stormwater to be a pollutant. And they also agree that the Los Angeles and San Gabriel Rivers are waters of the United States. So there's no dispute in this case that the district is a discharger and therefore needs a permit. But because the district does have a permit, the environmentalist claims are based on the allegation that the district's discharges have exceeded what the permit allows. Accordingly, the case turns on how the district's compliance with that permit is to be measured. Now, the permit itself requires that water quality be measured within the Los Angeles and San Gabriel Rivers themselves. There's no dispute that the water within these rivers at the time of monitoring far exceeded the levels of pollution allowed under the district's permit. But in the district court, the LA County District contended that its compliance with the permit cannot be measured using these in-stream monitoring stations. And why? Because one can't be sure that the pollutants already in the rivers were discharged by the district's own sewer system as opposed to other dischargers located further upstream along these same rivers. In other words, to hold the district liable, the environmentalists had to measure the discharge of pollutants at or near the district's outfalls. Now, the district court agreed with the LA County District's defense and ruled in its favor on all claims, but the Ninth Circuit reversed in part. The appellate court's decision, which isn't a model of clarity to be sure, appears to operate on the assumption that two of these monitoring stations, the one for the LA River and the one for the San Gabriel River, are located within the district's MS4. Thus, the Ninth Circuit reasoned that if permit-exceeding water passed through these monitoring stations while within the MS4, then one could reasonably conclude that the polluted stormwater ultimately discharged into these rivers. But other parts of the Ninth Circuit's decision seem to assume that the portions of the LA and San Gabriel Rivers that are channelized, that are encased in concrete or otherwise improved for stormwater and flood protection, are also part of the district's MS4 itself. And it's that assumption on which the district has relied, in my view, to obtain the Supreme Court review. Specifically, the Supreme Court granted review on the question of whether the district can be held liable for a discharge simply because polluted stormwater flows through improved portions of the river that are part of the district's MS4, and the downstream portions of the river that are not part of the MS4. And thus highlighted, thus presented, the question is very similar to what the Supreme Court addressed several years ago in a case called South Florida Water Management District versus Miccosukee Tribe. In that case, the Clean Water Act's definition of the discharge of a pollutant was at issue, because the Act defined the discharge of a pollutant as requiring the addition of a pollutant. And the Supreme Court ruled in Miccosukee that there can be no addition of a pollutant if water merely travels from one segment of a water body to another segment of the same water body. The court explained that to determine whether man-made improvements or other alterations could make one water body two for purposes of this addition question requires an analysis of whether these two segments are meaningfully distinct from each other. Now, in our case, argued this month, the district says that the Ninth Circuit's decision conflicts with Miccosukee. But this is where things get interesting. The environmentalists, in their opening brief, agree with the district on the question presented, namely that alterations to the bed and banks of the LA and San Gabriel rivers do not make them partial point sources or otherwise deprive the federal government of jurisdiction. But the environmentalists argue that the district's liability doesn't depend on the question presented. Rather, the environmentalists contend that the Ninth Circuit simply made a record error when it concluded that the river's monitoring stations are located within the district's MS4 itself, whereas, in fact, the monitoring stations are located downstream of the MS4 in the rivers themselves. But the environmentalists continue to argue that, under EPA's regulations, every stormwater permit must have a compliance mechanism, and that the district's permit has a compliance mechanism based upon in-stream monitoring. So the environmentalist reasons that, by accepting the permit, the district is bound by the permit's presumption that exceedance of water quality standards as measured by the monitoring stations downstream of the MS4 outfalls shall necessarily be deemed an exceedance of the permit's pollution limitations. Now, the environmentalists also point out that the district is about to obtain a new stormwater permit that will measure exceedance at the outfall points themselves, not downstream exclusively. And that fact, combined with the environmentalist contention that there is no disagreement about the question presented, lead them to argue either for dismissal of the district's cert petition as improvidently granted or an affirmance of the Ninth Circuit's judgment on these deemed exceedance grounds. Things, frankly, become even more complicated when we read the United States' amicus brief, which was filed in support of neither party. The federal government in that brief agrees with the environmentalists that the error in the Ninth Circuit's opinion is factual. Specifically, the U.S. argues that the Ninth Circuit erred in concluding, again, that these monitoring stations are located within the MS4. For that reason, the government believes that the Ninth Circuit's decision should be vacated. But the government disagrees with the district and the environmentalists as to the next steps. The government argues that the court should remand the matter to the Ninth Circuit to allow it to determine whether, in light of the record correction, the district should be liable. What would likely happen if the court were to follow the government's suggestion? Well, as I mentioned earlier, the Ninth Circuit held that the district could not be liable for the environmentalist claims based on monitoring stations in other rivers that were located downstream of the storm sewer outfalls. Now, in light of that conclusion, I believe that the Ninth Circuit would come to the same no liability result with respect to the LA and San Gabriel River claims once its record error has been corrected. So, is this case much ado about nothing? Arguably, yes. The environmentalists and the government agree with the district on how the question presented should be answered. The only disagreement is over whether the question presented is even relevant to the district's claims to overturn the Ninth Circuit's decision. And on that score, the environmentalists contend that it is not relevant and that judgment should be affirmed on alternative grounds, whereas the government contends that the question presented is not relevant, but that a do-over in the Ninth Circuit is appropriate. And, of course, the district argues that the Ninth Circuit's decision could be interpreted in such a way as to make the question presented relevant, and if so, then judgment should be entered for it. In my view, the environmentalists and the government have the better argument on what the Ninth Circuit did wrong, but I do sympathize with the district and its reasonable but contrary interpretation of the lower court's decision. It would, therefore, be unfair to the district to dismiss the writ while leaving the district and other regulated entities in the Ninth Circuit subject to a misinterpreted Ninth Circuit decision. But at the same time, the government's suggestion of vacator and remand is not particularly satisfying for a reason that the justices themselves at oral argument earlier this month noted, which is that not only did the grant of certiorari not cover the alternative grounds, but more importantly, the Ninth Circuit has already decided that if the monitoring stations are located outside of the storm sewer system operated by the LA Flood Control District, then one cannot impose liability on the district. And if, in fact, the record is clear, and all the parties seem to say that it is clear, that these monitoring stations are indeed located in the rivers downstream of the stormwater outfalls, then it would seem that the judgment would have to be entered in favor of the flood control district, and there's no need for a remand.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.